Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. God's love surrounds us like the very air we breathe. Breathe deeply, my friends. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us on this holiday weekend. If you're here for the first time or you've just recently begun attending, we're especially delighted that you're here. Those of us who are here week in and week out, we'll be looking for folks we don't know to shake your hand and to extend our hope that you will become a part of our family of faith here. You can find lots of ways to do that in the bulletin inserts in your bulletin. I'm going to lift just a few of those up for you. First of all, I invite you to welcome Chris Allen. This is his first time to lead worship with us. Chris is our new pastor on staff here, recently appointed and sent from the conference. We're delighted he's with us. And at the end of the service, I'm going to ask Chris to stand with me at the Reed Hall door so you can greet him as you exit that door. Also, if you did not order a Bedrock Belief t-shirt that says God loves everyone unconditionally, you still can. We also have children's sizes now. You need to make those orders online. You can look in your bulletin insert to find out how to do that. And the last day for this order period is July 10th. Also, we need a few more volunteers for Project Transformation to read to kids during the week of July 11th. Look in your bulletin insert. You can find there how to sign up. I would remind you that the church offices are closed tomorrow in observance of Independence Day. They will reopen Tuesday morning, first thing. Also, our older elementary Mission Week car wash and vacation Bible school collection for the United Methodist Committee on Relief was $517.87. And we are delighted that our children could be a part of raising that money, and we appreciate your help in doing that as well. Don't forget to register your child or grandchild for music camp. Look in your bulletin insert. You can find out how. And finally, we're taking a little break from our Tuesday Bible studies, both early morning and noon, for the month of July. We'll begin again on the first Tuesday of August. Have you ever been sent to a place where you felt, at the very least, uncomfortable, at the worst, kind of scared? Sometimes it feels like that going out into the world. But don't worry, you're never alone, and Jesus says, hey, it's going to be okay.
Thank you. are called together this day to praise God. The Lord will walk with us as we faithfully witness to Christ's love. Come, let us worship God. You may be seated. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all this is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words the Scriptures say to all that truly turn to the Lord. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter first, say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'The Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One of the first things you notice if you read this particular text in different translations is that some of the translations say that Jesus sent out 70, and some translations say that Jesus sent out 72. Could they just not count? No. The reason for this is that both numbers are highly symbolic. About half the manuscripts say 70, about half say 72. Those that say 70 seem to be referring to the 70 persons that Moses chose to serve as his advisors and helpers when he was in the wilderness and the job just got to be too great for him, for any one person. So in a sense, Jesus is the new Moses sending out 70 of his helpers. In the time of Jesus, though, there were considered that there were 72 nations in the known world. And so some of the translations seem to be saying that Jesus was sending out enough to cover the whole world, to all nations. Whether it was 70 or 72, the remarkable thing about these people is that they were all apostles. Oh, no, you're thinking there are only 12 apostles. Apostle means one who is sent. And what does Jesus do to these folks, all 70 or 72? He sends them out. In fact, the same term could apply to us, couldn't it? Because God sends us out. Remember, we're still on this pilgrimage. If you look at your bulletin insert, it has some information about the particular stage of the pilgrimage that we happen to be on at this point. We are people who are sent out by God. But this particular text tells us what we're set out to be a part of. Because you see, don't spread this around. Jesus is starting a revolution. Now, he's doing it in a really weird way. I mean, if you're going to start a revolution, you stockpile arms, right? If you're going to start a revolution, you learn how to build bombs. You get on the internet and you learn how to build bombs. or you strap bombs around your waist, or you know how to plant them and put them where cars will run over them. But that's not what Jesus does at all. No. His revolution is a peaceful revolution. His revolution was already started by God. It's called the kingdom of God or the reign of God. God is already doing it. And Jesus is just sending out 70 or 72 people to help God get the revolution going. And notice what they do. They don't take anything with them. Not only do they not take weapons, they don't take a bag, they don't take a purse, they can't even take sandals. Good grief. They go out like those Buddhist monks with just a beggar's bowl. And they are to accept and receive and eat whatever is placed in their bowl. They go out with nothing except one message. Any house you go to, Jesus says, you say, Shalom. Peace be upon this house. Shalom doesn't just mean peace. Shalom is the word that describes the way God intended all of creation to be in the first place. That's what the kingdom of God is. God is redoing creation in the way God intended it to be in the first place. And we get to be a part of that revolution. The problem with God's redo of this is that it turns upside down all the established institutions that have so much invested in the way things are already. So they're sent out with nothing. They're told to eat whatever they're given. Whatever house they walk into, they offer their peace. If people will receive that peace, that's wonderful. If they don't, that's okay. It returns to them. You can't coerce someone to receive a blessing. You can't coerce someone to receive a message of peace. That would be antithetical to the very message itself. You simply offer it as a gift. Those who can receive the gift, receive it. Those who can't, you just carry it along to someone else who can. There will be those who welcome you, Jesus says, and whatever they put in front of you, you eat, just like those Buddhist monks. Don't go from house to house to house thinking, well, the food's a little better over here, the accommodations are a little better over there. No. Wherever you've received hospitality, you remain there. And when you go to a place and they have received you and offered you hospitality, you are to say, the reign of God has come near you. You offer that additional blessing, right? What God is doing in the world has passed right through your midst. You're invited to join in this peaceful revolution. But if you go to a town and they reject you, this is what you say. The reign of God has come near you. You say the same thing. Remember last week, the disciples were wanting to call down fire on a village that rejected Jesus, rejected offering hospitality to Jesus. He doesn't work that way. That's not this kind of revolution. That's the other kind. Those that receive you, you say, the reign of God has come near you. Those that reject you, you say, the reign of God has come near you. And you leave God to judge who has received it and who hasn't. This is the most amazing revolution in the world because it's still going on, isn't it? The church hasn't always been on the right side of that revolution. Too often we've been on the side that wanted to take up arms instead of offer peace. Too often we have been on the side that would call down fire on someone who rejected us instead of saying, the reign of God has come near you. Well, when they get back, these 70 or 72 have been amazingly successful. When they come back, they are really jazzed. They're saying, hey, even the demons submit to us. Even the evil spirits submit to us. We are really something. That never happened before. Not before Jesus sent them out. And Jesus said, you shouldn't be surprised at that because you see, this revolution has already won because it's God's. I have seen Satan fall like lightning from the sky, Jesus says. Evil has been defeated. Not evil will be defeated someday. For Jesus, the understanding is the word of God's peace, God's revolution in the world, has already defeated evil. Oh, there'll be resistance. Sometimes a defeated army is more dangerous than an active one. Through guerrilla actions, through subterfuge, but evil has been defeated. And don't be happy that you can do amazing, miraculous things. Jesus says, just be happy that you can be a part of God's revolution. Just be happy that you can go into houses and say, peace be with you. And if they reject you, you don't have to do anything in return other than receive your peace back. If you go someplace, you can say, the reign of God has come near you. And if they reject you, you don't have to do them any harm. You don't have to reject them. You say to them the same thing you say to those who receive you. God is at work in your midst. That's what we're sent to do. You and I are apostles to be a part of this revolution that has continued to go on all these years. And it's not that we do miraculous things. Often it's very simple things that we do. We simply return good for evil. We return love for hate. Jesus said, I send you out as lambs among wolves. He knew the danger he was sending his followers out into. Have you ever seen those nature shows where wolves tear lambs to pieces? Jesus knew what happened to lambs when the shepherd wasn't there to keep the wolves away. He was very aware of the dangers, but he also knew that God had already won. That this revolution had already been established and was at work in the world, sometimes in the simplest of ways. I had a conversation with a group of folks yesterday, and it reminded me of an experience in which I felt like I had been sent out as a lamb among wolves. This was 1973. I was on my way to seminary. I had just bought my first car. I was 22 years old. In my culture, in my time, you did not get a car at 16. You got a car when you could afford to buy your own car. And so I was driving to seminary in Evanston, Illinois, and to get there, I had to drive the Dan Ryan Expressway right through Chicago. And that traffic and those drivers felt to me like I was a lamb among wolves. I tell you what, I never met such an aggressive group of people in my life. Oh my gosh, I was going way too slowly and I was going 5 miles over the speed limit. It was crazy, and it didn't get any better. If I could have gotten off the Dan Ryan and gone home, I would have, but I only knew how to get one place. I got to the seminary and I very cautiously began to drive again around Chicago, and it wasn't any better. If you were not away from a stoplight before it changed, you'd hear honking horns behind you. I didn't know what to do. Back where I came from, people honked at you if they knew you. And so I would just wave, which probably didn't improve the disposition of the person who was already angry with me. I didn't know what to do, though. It took me a long time to adjust. In fact, I had some friends at Northwestern who had grown up in Chicago who did not have driver's licenses. They didn't need them. Public transportation was so good, and driving and parking was so difficult. They were a hindrance rather than a help. But then after a few years, I'd find myself coming back to Nashville for annual conference. And driving down West End Avenue, these people were driving way too slow. And they didn't get away from the stoplight quickly enough. I don't know what they were thinking, but apparently I had become enculturated into the culture of wolves. That's what Jesus doesn't want to happen. We are sent out as sheep among wolves, but we are not to become wolves. we remain sheep. The conversation that triggered this memory was about impatience, about being impatient driving. And a whole group of people were talking. A lot of these narratives had to do with driving to the airport and how people were driving too slowly in both lanes, and they didn't get out of the way quickly enough, and they didn't let you in, and lots of complaints about being impatient with other drivers. Until one fellow spoke up, and I have permission to tell this, one fellow spoke up and said, I want to tell that story from the other car. He said, I was out on the interstate a while back. Traffic was heavy. A driver wanted to get in front of me, and there wasn't room. I couldn't make room to let them in, but they thought I was intentionally keeping them out. So they slowed down enough to get right next to me, and the driver held up a hand with a single finger raised. And I just waved. Well, it didn't stop there. Every time the driver came even with me, that hand came up and that finger came up again. And every time that finger came up, I just waved. It didn't stop there. The driver went around to the other side, to the right side of the other lane, and used the other hand and the other finger. And I just waved. Said, finally, the other driver was ready to exit. And as the other driver exited, I noticed that instead of one finger, as the car pulled off the exit, a hand went up and there was a wave. You see, you don't overcome hostility with hostility. You don't overcome evil with evil or hate with hate. You overcome hate with good. You overcome evil with good. You overcome hostility with love and gentleness and kindness. I send you out as sheep among wolves, Jesus said. But don't worry, and don't become a wolf, whatever you do. The reason you don't have to worry is that God has already won the day. Thanks be to God. We tell of our faith in many different ways, sometimes using modern words, sometimes using ancient words. I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 882 in your hymnal, and we will use some ancient words to share our faith together. I believe in God, the Father.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following the service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side of the card, you can record any comments that you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these are to be shared or are confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of the service. This morning we offer our sympathy to Janie Parmley and her family. They're mourning the death of her brother, Billy Elmore, who died last week in Houston, Texas, and also her brother-in-law, Ingram Parmley, who died on June 22nd in Asheville, North Carolina. We remember Carol and Sue McSweeney, who are mourning the death of their uncle, James W. McSweeney, who died June 21st in Sea Island, Georgia. And we remember Nancy Phipps and her family, who are mourning the death of her grandmother, Louise Baird Short, who was 110 years old. She was the widow of the late Bishop Roy Short. Services will be held at West End on Wednesday, July 6th at 3 p.m. here in the sanctuary, and visitation will follow in Reed Hall. God's generosity knows no bounds, and so with this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and offerings.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, please be seated. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by the one offering of himself a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him, who in that same night in which he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said to his disciples, "Drink ye all of this. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as ye drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins, and all other benefits of his possession. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. Body of Christ, broken for you and for the world. The blood of Christ, poured out for you and for the world. Now let us continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. You may come by way of the center aisle, kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to be served, simply extend your hand. You'll be served the bread first, then the cup. When you have taken both elements, you're welcome to remain for a time of prayer if you choose. When you do return, we ask that you return by way of the side aisle. If you need to be served in your pew, just catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. We do have a gluten-free option available. If you do need a gluten-free option for communion, please come to your left, my right, to the lectern side. Tell your server that's what you desire, and our gluten-free team over here will be glad to serve you. Also, we take an offering at every communion service, and this month the offering goes to the West End Minister's Discretionary Fund. It's a fund you may or may not even know about, but I want to tell you that since January 1st of this year, we've received 110 requests and distributed $5,350 worth of assistance for things like utility bills, rent, food, bus passes, and such as that. All of your contributions today will go to that fund so we can continue to help those who call on us and who are in need. If you would like to contribute, there are two plates right next to the front pew where you can leave your offering as you come to communion. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand and join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let us give thanks unto the Lord. Almighty and most merciful God, from thee comes every And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.